Welcome back to Bitcoin Builders. Today, we're back with another recap of everything that happened in Bitcoin this week, and man, was there a lot. This week in Bitcoin, we saw a serious narrative shift from the World Economic Forum, major Bitcoin policy updates, an incredibly jumpy market, a report about Bitcoin startups, and so much more. Bitcoin Builders is made possible by In Wolf's Clothing. Wolf is the first startup accelerator focused entirely on Bitcoin and Lightning. You can check them out at wolfnyc.com. It's Saturday, April 29th. This is Bitcoin Builders. Let's go. All right, friends, welcome back to Bitcoin Builders. I hope you are having a good weekend. It has been a wonderful week around Bitcoin Builders parts. I really enjoyed talking with Ray earlier this week in that interview that came out, and I have a couple of great interview shows coming out next week that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. We've got talks about Bitcoin gaming as well as Bitcoin for political progressives, which, my God, is that necessary right now? But today is the weekly recap where we cover the Bitcoin news. Now, last week, I asked for feedback around the format, and I appreciate how many of you shared ideas. Interestingly, I got two very diverging suggestions. One set of you guys wanted me to go deeper on specific topics, basically have this show be closer in format to the main breakdown show. That group thought that maybe there was too much Bitcoin info jammed in. Now, on the other hand, the other group wanted the opposite direction. They wanted an even more structured news and headline style show, touching on a big array of parts of the Bitcoin ecosystem each week. I can see both sides, which is why I asked you guys, and it may be that we discover that there just needs to be two different types of shows. For today, though, I'm going to try the more newsy, multiple category approach and see what you all think. So today we have 4.5 or 5 sections, depending on how you categorize it. First, we're going to talk about markets. Second, we're going to talk about narrative shifts, and 2.5 or third, the WEF narrative shift. Fourth, we're going to talk about Bitcoin policy updates, and fifth, we're going to hone in on a very cool Bitcoin startup report. So first up, let's talk markets. This week kicked off with a ton of chatter about dormant Bitcoin accounts waking up. On Monday, a dormant whale address that hadn't been active in 12 years transferred nearly $11 million worth of Bitcoin to a new wallet. This followed 2 other whale addresses waking up last week, including one on Thursday, an address that had been dormant for 9 years transferring around $60 million, and a second address waking up the following day and transferring around $8 million. For what it's worth, also on Monday, a wallet that had been inactive since the Ethereum ICO transferred a single ETH from its stash of 2,365 coins. Now, speculation on Twitter is running rampant. Some are pointing to a recent draining attack against older wallets that was discovered by MetaMask's Taylor Monahan. Although the attack vector is still unknown, Taylor believes these whale awakenings are unrelated and do not fit the pattern. Others are speculating that some older wallet key generators have been cracked due to insufficient randomness in their seeds, but this seems highly unlikely. Realistically, the simplest explanation is that some old Bitcoiners are simply moving coins around. Investor Adam Cochran writes, unless these wallets are somehow related to Mt. Gox cold storage, then some old wallet generator has to have been cracked. We're now at way too many 10-plus year wallets springing to life on multiple assets all of a sudden. Crypto BitLord wrote rumors on the darknet that someone has been cracking older Bitcoin paper wallets. At first, I didn't believe it, but this is too coincidental now. But then there's Taylor Monahan, again from MetaMask, who is a serious on-chain sleuth. She says it's probably just 2010-2013 era whales resetting their stacks so they can cash out without everyone knowing they're a billionaire. I've lost hours to these things, and it's always just some dude who values their privacy and has failed to realize that 10,000 Bitcoin isn't what it used to be, and you can just, like, send it over a bridge and have no one notice. Now, while old wallets waking up is always a mysterious event, some context is probably worthwhile. So far, around 2,700 Bitcoin have been transferred, with none of the coins moving to a centralized exchange, although they may have been sold in over-the-counter deals. Comparing that to other sell pressure in the recent past, in May last year, publicly listed Bitcoin miners sold 4,000 Bitcoin, which was followed up the next month with Bitfarms liquidating 3,000 Bitcoin. It also seems that whale alerts might just be wrong on some of these as well. Crypto trader Nathan Espinoza writes, another example of completely factually inaccurate information. This wallet has transactions from 2018 and 2021 as well as 2023 now. This is the second time they've claimed a wallet was dormant for over a decade, although the on-chain data says they're wrong. Interestingly enough, this wasn't the only time this week that wallets moving got people chattering. On Wednesday, there was incredibly weird price action and a resurfacing of Mt. Gox rumors. Bitcoin markets whipsawed on Wednesday, first shooting up to around 30,000 in the morning, before collapsing to 27,700 in the afternoon. Now, the morning push higher was driven by a range of economic news. Republicans were rumored to be bringing a debt ceiling bill to a vote on the House floor, which many are anticipating to be an inflationary event, and that bill would in fact later pass that day. And then around that, of course, there has been the background of First Republic Bank looking shaky, with rumors swirling of an FDIC seizure, and banking instability has been a driver of Bitcoin this year. GSR's Matt Kuenke said the price action, quote, closely resembles the market dynamics observed during Silicon Valley Bank's collapse, namely a Bitcoin-led crypto rally as expectations for future rate hikes reverted sharply lower as more cracks in the regional banking system emerged. Only this time, the narrative shift stemmed from a larger-than-expected decline in First Republic deposits, which turned the balance sheet upside down and will be extremely difficult to recover from. Now, things would have been volatile in Bitcoin markets even without a liquidation cascade, but of course, that's what we saw as well. 60 million in short positions were liquidated as the Bitcoin price spiked. But yet, that wasn't the end of the story. The whipsaw arrived some 7 hours later on Wednesday afternoon. At that point, the Bitcoin price retraced entirely and then some, falling below the previous night's plateau around 28,300. Importantly, traders initially pointed to a tweet from high-speed Twitter news aggregator DB, or Tier 10K, who put out an alert saying Mt. Gox and US government wallets making transactions. His source was an alert from on-chain analytics firm Arkham Intelligence. And boy, did that news get picked up hard. Mitchell from the Blockware team writes, "Word on the street is that this afternoon's dump is the US government stupidly liquidating a bag of Mt. Gox. Average daily sell pressure in 2023 based on exchange inflows has been 28,800 Bitcoin per day. US government dumping one-third of their remaining 41,500 Bitcoin would increase daily sell pressure by 13,833 Bitcoin, or around 48%. Still others urged caution. Checkmate from Glassnode writes, "Based on our labels at Glassnode, neither the USG nor Mt. Gox are spending any coins from addresses we monitor. Stay safe out there, folks." And indeed, a little while later, Arkham backtracked and announced that a bug related to their Bitcoin alert system had caused erroneous alerts to be sent to a small number of users. The issue was a self-labeled alert configuration that was previously non-functional had become live, causing DB to receive what were presumably test alerts. Arkham tweeted, "DB set two alerts on all Bitcoin transactions above 10K USD with no counterparty set, then named the alerts Mt. Gox and US government. When we fixed a bug causing us to not send alerts on configurations like this, he then correctly received many alerts based on his parameters. No one received inaccurate alerts, they simply began receiving the alerts they had previously set." Now, in all of the confusion, there may have been a more reasonable catalyst that got overshadowed. Shortly before the sell-off began, Arkham Intelligence noted that Goliath market maker Jump Trading had deposited $26.6 million into a handful of exchanges, with the majority going to Binance. Now, regardless of the specific catalysts, price action like we saw on Wednesday is indicative of just how volatile markets are right now. Volume is still significantly down across centralized exchanges, having failed to recover to levels of a year ago prior to the collapse of Luna. In the background of such poor exchange liquidity, it's not exactly surprising that such large, fast moves are a feature of current markets. When all was said and done, Wednesday's Bitcoin price action saw a 3.3% green one-hour candle, followed by a red one-hour candle of more than 6.8% later in the day. On top of market structure fragility, we also have narrative fragility right now. On the upside, we have debt ceiling negotiations and a looming banking crisis that point towards Bitcoin as a valuable exit strategy for those with financial stability and inflation concerns. On the downside, for many, there's a massive overhang of seized and locked up Bitcoin. Although this dump doesn't seem to have been caused by the US government, they do hold around $5.6 billion worth of Bitcoin, around 1% of circulating supply. In early March, Glassnode reported that around $269 million worth of this stash was transferred to Coinbase. A significant chunk of the government's Bitcoin is related to the various Bitfinex hacks, which presumably will be claimed by Bitfinex after criminal prosecutions have completed. A little over half, however, is from the Silk Road seizure, which may end up owned free and clear by the government. Of course, I don't think I have to convince any of you that the smarter idea would be for the US government to hold onto it. Now let's move on to our narrative section, given that we're already in that a little bit. I think one thing to note that came through strongly this week is that the idea that banking crisis is driving Bitcoin narrative is really picking up. Nick Carter tweeted on Thursday, "The fact that Bitcoin almost mechanically rallies on news of bank failures is one of the most validating phenomena I've experienced in a decade of doing this. To be clear, I don't want banks to fail, and I'm dismayed at how Fed policy has zombified the sector, which will surely retard growth. But having Bitcoin act in this manner is remarkable nevertheless." Also, Nick writes, "I suspect the reason Corn behaves this way is not because of some long Bitcoin short the banks narrative, but because each bank failure drives the Fed closer to a liquidity bazooka, driving down the denominator in Bitcoin USD. Arthur Hayes has made a similar point around First Republic and the Bank Term Funding Program. But importantly, it's not just Nick and Arthur who are talking about this. Standard Chartered Bank, $820 billion assets under management, Standard Chartered Bank, released a research report on Monday suggesting that Bitcoin could be heading for $100,000 by the end of next year. In the report, one of the major drivers for their argument was that the banking crisis is helping to, quote, reestablish Bitcoin's use as a decentralized scarce digital asset. The report states against this backdrop, Bitcoin has benefited from its status as a branded safe haven, a perceived relative store of value and means of remittance. The report also noted macro factors, including the Fed nearing the end of its tightening cycle. While Bitcoin can trade well when risky assets suffer, it says, correlations to the NASDAQ suggest that it should trade better if risky assets improve broadly. Finally, just about 1 year out, the report also looked ahead to the next halving as a bullish catalyst. They write, as we approach the next halving, we expect cyclical drivers to become more constructive as they have in previous cycles. Now, one more small narrative piece this time around, Bitcoin mining, and this one was pretty surprising. In a video released on Sunday, the World Economic Forum sang the praises of, quote, mobile modular data centers that could be co-located on oil fields and use flared methane gas to power their computers. The company being profiled in the video is Crusoe Energy, and wouldn't you know it, they're a Bitcoin miner. Despite it being fairly obvious what sort of data centers the video was referring to, the phrase Bitcoin mining was never mentioned, although the video did feature shots of racks stacked with miners. Bitcoiner MBTC says, so WEF recently started advocating Bitcoin mining? Didn't have that on my 2023 bingo card. Michael Saylor says, even the WEF is recognizing the environmental benefits of Bitcoin mining. Progressive Bitcoiner, meanwhile, writes, what this illustrates is that if you remove the word Bitcoin from the discussion, everything is hearts and rainbows, and we are aligning computing with climate. Oh, and an intern is about to get fired. Now, I don't know how big a narrative thing this is, but if it is an indication of a shifting tide versus just a random one-off video that, again, will get an intern fired, it could be something interesting. Our fourth section is Bitcoin policy upgrades. And specifically, there is a new Bitcoin policy organization in town. Former Congressman Tim Ryan and David McIntosh are spearheading a new nonpartisan effort to educate policymakers and the public about Bitcoin's benefits. Affiliated with the Bitcoin Policy Institute, the new initiative called BPI Action was unveiled in Washington on Wednesday at the Bitcoin Policy Summit. Ryan, a Democrat who worked on crypto legislation during his time in office, said, quote, traditional financial services have left a number of communities behind, and without proper guardrails that encourage innovation. Bitcoin and other digital innovations can bring more underserved communities into financial inclusion. They can also encourage the development of alternative energy sources by creating more American jobs. McIntosh, meanwhile, is the president of the Conservative Club for Growth, which got behind two crypto-focused super PACs during the last election. He tweeted, there are those who say Bitcoin and digital assets are dead. That is false. Bitcoin and legitimate digital assets will continue. The question is where they will continue, and America must be a leader in the future of the financial industry. Our newly launched BPI Action will educate policymakers, promote regulatory certainty, and consumer protection. Now, the whole Bitcoin Policy Summit seemed from afar to be absolutely tremendous. David Bailey, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, agreed, writing, blown away by what David Zell and Grant McCarty have achieved with the Bitcoin Policy Institute in only a year and with limited resources. Relentless work ethic and brilliant minds, both in early 20s. I can only imagine what they'll build by next epic. Bitcoin attracts the best and brightest. Senator Cynthia Lummis tweeted, thank you to the Bitcoin Policy Institute for inviting me to speak about the state of the digital asset industry. My conversations with industry leaders have highlighted how close the U.S. is to losing our title as the home of financial innovation. I will not let it happen. Senator Lummis summed up the mission incredibly succinctly when she wrote, orange pill the hill. Finally today, let's talk about the development of the Bitcoin startup industry. Trammell Venture Partners have released a new research report detailing the last 2 years of the Bitcoin startup ecosystem. And in short, the beautiful little TLDR is that they found that Bitcoin-native startups are outperforming the overall crypto sector. According to the report, the number of crypto venture fundraising deals rose by 1% in 2022 compared to the previous year, but deals involving companies focused mainly on Bitcoin shot up by 52.9%. Still, despite the massive growth, the researchers believe there is still a severe misallocation of capital in the sector, with companies focused on Bitcoin accounting for just 2% of crypto deals last year and only 1.3% of invested venture capital, despite Bitcoin accounting for 42.1% of the overall crypto market cap. TVP Managing Director and Founding Partner Christopher Callicott said in an interview, "Bitcoin has already won the base monetary reserve layer for the internet, full stop. It's just not broadly recognized as such." Callicott views Bitcoin native stablecoins as one of the big areas for growth of the network in the coming years. He said, "There's actually multiple paths to achieving that on Lightning. We know the validated market. We're looking for the absolute best founders that are going to build it so we can back them in a spearfishing kind of approach." Callicott views the reliable stability of the Bitcoin protocol as a boon for startups, allowing them to build on solid foundations. That kind of rapid change in risk, of all the risks that an entrepreneur considers when starting a company, the last one they're going to take given the option is platform risk. People are sleeping on Bitcoin and Lightning. It's a really vibrant time. You go to some of these technical meetups and people that might in any other context be competitors are brainstorming, spitballing ideas together. And there's just like a renewed excitement. Obviously, as the guy coming to you with the Bitcoin Builders podcast, all about this incredible explosion of energy, I wholeheartedly agree. Thanks to Trammell for putting together a great report, and I'm glad to see people recognizing that this sector is growing. All right, guys, that is it for this Bitcoin Builders Weekly Recap. Again, let me know, did you like this format where we covered a lot of news? Would you have liked a deeper dive into one of these topics? We are on a learning journey together, and it's a learning journey around Bitcoin. I want to thank my sponsor, In Wolf's Clothing, Wolf, the startup accelerator for Bitcoin and Lightning. And of course, I want to thank you guys for listening. Until next time, guys, let's build.